Testing, 1, 2. This is Mr. Nobody. Though I have something to say about that. This is the first episode of season 2. So I spent the better part of season 1, in fact, really all of season 1, bitterly complaining about my circumstances. And in some way, believing myself justified. That circumstance primarily being the death of my son. And the anger that I felt about that towards him. Towards myself. Towards drugs. Escapism. Drug dealers. The cartels. Our own self-deception and lying. All stuff we know a lot about, each one of us. And I did not like the idea of coming back to a season 2. In the same headspace. Just because I've already done that. A big part of my reason for doing the podcast was to purgate. To exorcise my emotions. To do that with music and sound and composing and creating shit. Also listening to my world. And every week I would find noises or music or sound. Ambient events, and I took those to mean something. Not in any super cosmic way, but just because that's what I heard. That's what entered my emotional hallway. I really felt that if I was going to continue this, that I needed to expand somehow, to make it different than the first season. And I knew that the only way to do that would be to confront my resentment and my bitterness and my victimology something I was not successful at doing during the first season of work. I like calling it work because I work harder at these sonic landscapes than I do, or that I have at any other job. Like, this is what I love doing. I love writing, contemplating, making things that emotionally do something for me. I get to play with multiple instruments. And I get to wander around my mind. And I did not like what I had become. It's really, really toxic being hateful. And I'm not hyping that. I hated. There's anger. These are really dark emotions. Disgust and shame. And they're just names to this. Dark, hairy soup that I was force-feeding myself. And the public. Also, Mr. Nobody as a moniker, although it could sound somehow like I'm being, I don't know, zen about it, that wasn't the case. It was a form of retaliation. It was a way of saying, I'm not going to play along with life. I'm not going to accept it. And I took myself out of the world as much as that's possible. COVID was awesome for me, just on a personal level, because it enabled me. It gave me a valid pretext to completely remove myself from all social interactions. Before that, I was in jiu-jitsu 3 or 4 times a week. I was playing gigs, which required rehearsals. I was doing multiple gigs, actually, with multiple artists, my own groups, and other things that required a lot of time and interactions with people. And I was medicating myself, in my case with alcohol and cannabis oil. And I mean medicating. and I was really unhappy. That's beautiful. That's thunder outside. So how would a second season sound? What would that be for me? What could I offer that was constructive, not just sharing bitterness? I had to find a way. I had to find some way. I know people get sick. I know they do. I felt it inside of me. Those negative emotions are so toxic. But I felt them. And I couldn't unfeel them. And so I asked the question to my mind, but also to the universe. What am I missing? What am I not getting? Why am I so selfish? I didn't know that the answer would find me. So I talked a lot about my son. But I need to talk about my daughter. My daughter is like my lab rat. She courageously goes into the world, into her grief, into a process or processes of discovery. Find answers, not just ask questions.
Please leave a message. I'll get back to you as soon as possible. Thank you.
That's my son.
The mailbox is full. I cannot accept any messages at this time.
His mailbox was always full. But I would text him and reach him. So my daughter bravely has done a few things to reclaim herself, to rebirth herself. Stuff you hear about in books and, I don't know, New Age therapies and what have you. Things I didn't believe I could ever benefit from. I'll just tell you what happened. So, some months ago, my daughter embarked upon a shamanistic-based therapy, I suppose, rituals. And they definitely involved what is referred to as plant medicine. And I'll get into what my own personal experiences were. But when I reached her and we spoke after a 4-day period of her being in a ceremony, it's like I was talking to a different person. Still my daughter, but one somehow unburdened, full of life, full of hope. Full of wonder. Dad, you have to do this. It was fucking amazing. My daughter doesn't bullshit. So I agreed. This is an ancient process of ritual and also a thorough self-honesty. I've done my share of mushrooms and LSD, but this was different. So let me back up a little. I didn't want to arrive at this type of personal transformation work because I know what it's like to be on heavy hallucinogenics when you're fucked up, you know. When my hang-ups were hanging on me, or my life was not good because of me. Most of the time, when things aren't good, it's because of me. Life is just life. Certainly, there are situations and conditions that can make life intolerable. But most of the time, my garbage dumps were created by myself, by the way I thought, and my subsequent actions. So once I agreed to do this, I knew instinctively that I had to really search myself, to take myself to task for how I was thinking. I was tired of suffering. And I know that suffering is the result of attachment. It's caused by our own thinking processes. I think it's the second noble truth of Buddhism. The first being that, and I paraphrase, life can be shitty. And that's just true. It's our clinging that makes us anxious and unproductive and worse, depressed, bitter. That's what I was. So I asked my mind, what do you attach to? I'm attached to my pain. I'm attached to my anger. I'm attached to my story. Like, as if I was the only person who's ever had something tragic on this emotional level happened to them. I was doing the same thing that I was angry with my son about, creating an island of myself and shutting everybody out and justifying that. Even musically, I was just practicing. I didn't want to play for people. I didn't want to share or soothe. Because music is my religion. It's my spirituality. But it was closed. I mean, it's great to shed and practice, but this was different. This was hoarding. Missing the point. The point being that life is just what it is. Reality just is. And bad things happen. And they're going to happen again. And it's how we look at it. So what happened to me is I just somehow accidentally or seemingly deepened my connection to a philosophy called Stoicism. And I'll go into that in later episodes as I learn more. But it's not hard to learn. It just takes a desire to think better. Principles are pretty easy. Essentially, that there's very few things in our control. Really, just our judgments and some of our emotions. and everything else is out of our control. So I decided to try to go back to school to get my master's degree. And I applied to this one school that was, in my mind, going to be like, wow, that'd be the shit. I'm gonna go for a philosophy degree and I can at least bury myself. That was my feeling, like I'm just gonna like dig down and stay alone. Well, they did not accept me, but the process really made me open up myself a bit by writing. And the professor that used to run that program came into my sphere. And I wrote him. I had read one or two of his books. And it turns out that his main bag is Stoicism. And he told this parable or metaphor, which really shook me. It's so simple, but it changed everything. It began to change everything. And you may even know it. It's just a story about an archer and he said you could train to be the best archer, practice, have the best equipment, the best arrows, and you want to hit the target and you pull that arrow all the way back. And with everything you have, all that you are, all your intention and desire, you aim at the target. Your whole life has come to that moment. But once you let go of that arrow, it's no longer under your control. So what happened to me is I woke up and realized that life just happens. And what my son did was a choice, but not something I could control. But I felt so grateful for the first time in a few years that I did everything and I loved him. I left nothing untouched by that feeling of love. And that I was mistaken to hold on. I was causing my own suffering. My son wasn't doing that. So this season is going to be about forgiveness. And acceptance. And love.
Something goes down and color just bleeds away. What's left of a clown? drags its oversized feet away. If the world was a song, it would shatter in shame. And singing along would just be masking the pain. One pebble was thrown, just a ripple behind. The clown releases a groan, one laugh at a time.